From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, where we've been wearing the same clothes for a week now.
Starting to stink.
Over it. Kind of over it. So, what are we talking about today?
Well, so in the last episode, Andrew went in with the debugger and talked about using a user mode debug session, how to look at a process's address space and virtual memory. And so this week we're going to take a look at that. It's kind of the same sort of thing, but from the kernel side. So if you want to see your entire system's memory usage.
Awesome.
So
let's get started.
Let's do it.
And we don't make things simple because it's different commands.
It is different commands, yes, just to make things hard for you. So what do we want to start with? Live KD here?
Do a live dump.
All right. So we'll talk about Live KD, which is a sysinternals tool, right?
Yep.
So you can download this from the same place that you get all your other good stuff. So one handy thing is if you got a machine and you just want to kind of get a debug session, a kernel debug session of your current running machine, Live KD is quite handy for that.
So this leverages the debugger. So you need to put Live KD or have Live KD on your path and be in the debugger folder. So because it actually uses all of the KD.exe and WinDBG and stuff like that from that folder to do the magic.
All the debug extensions. Yeah. That it's essentially just like using the Windows debugger, but you're sort of in text mode here, console session. So this is one way you can kind of get in and look at your system. And I don't know, should we start with one of the commands here? So so for example, kind of the main thing, if you just want to get an overall summary of the memory on the system, you can do a bang VM. And this will not only give you an overall summary up at the top here, but also for every running process, you will see the memory usage of that. And if you want to cut that down, let's in fact not look at those right now, but just do the overall summary. You can cut that down by doing a bang VM space 1. And that sort of just gives you the top half of that output.
So how do you know what the 1 is? How do you know what flags to pass in?
Well, that's where your old friend the debugger help file comes in. And we don't have a debugger running now. We'll start one up. And then you can come up here in the help. Bang, oops, over here, bang VM. So you'll see here, bang VM, and then you've got flags. And these are, I believe, a bit mask in this particular case. So you can see here that bit 0, which is 1, mm-hmm. causes the display to omit process-specific statistics. And you can also add some additional things to get more data if you're interested in certain things like I don't even know. Terminal server memory usage. There you go.
I've always wanted to know that.
Just in case you want to know that. This isn't a terminal server, so that probably would not be very interesting for us here. But going back to this, so a lot of this is really going to be similar to what you'd see with RAM map, mm-hmm. which we've talked about in a previous episode. But you can see your overall available pages. Remember, each page is 4K in size, so it'll do the math for you and multiply that out over here and show you the actual size as well as the number of pages. These are pretty much all going to be 4 times what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure if we've talked before about page pool, non-page pool, but we'll definitely get into that a little bit in this session today. So available pages is really just, I guess, all the memory that you've got available that is not currently mapped to a physical page. These are really talking about, I guess, not so much the virtual memory, but this is the actual physical memory on your system and what is currently in use.
So this is not showing you what's in the page file, for example?
No, right. So this is only your RAM.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a list here of the page file and, you know, how big it is and whatnot.
It's good to see that it's got the minimum and the maximum, so you know if your page file had to get expanded at some point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is an 8-gig machine, so it's not surprising to have an 8-gig page file.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit before that if you want to get a complete memory dump of a system, you need to have a page file that's at least as big as your RAM. So, well, let's see. Anyway, there's a lot of things here we can look at. the pool use, one other thing, actually, let's talk about before we do too much more. Let's quit out of here. Execute again. Let's say you're running here and you want to get a memory dump of your current system, but without crashing it. Mm-hmm. And you can do that as well through LiveKD. And I think we actually did that a little earlier. So you've got the command right here. So LiveKD, dash M does a mirror of the current RAM, mm-hmm. Let's see, help me out. So that's essentially you're kind of taking a point in time snapshot of your memory at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then you're dumping that out. Dash O is the output file that you want. So even though the system's running, you're only going to see the snapshot of when you actually hit enter and this ran. So mm-hmm. memory can keep changing underneath, but you're not going to see that reflected in the
dump. It may not be succinct, because if you're chasing someone who's changing a list, you may pass them while they're mid-transaction, equivalent of a transaction. Mm-hmm. So you may break a linked list in half if you happen to hit the wrong time.
Right.
Good thing to do. If the system's idle, it's pretty safe.
Yeah.
On a busy system, it's going to be an issue. The mirroring is, what's the word for it? It's not free, right? It has to hold the page, make a copy, and do all this like deltering work. And so you will use memory as you do it. So
it's copy on write kind of a thing.
Yeah, so you need twice the amount of memory that you are dumping, right? So if you have an 8-gig machine with 6-gig U's, you will not have enough physical memory left to fit. So there is a limit to when you can use it. But right. when it works, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the things we can't show you, because this is not a Hyper-V box, but you actually can, on the Hyper-V host, point to a Hyper-V guest. And in that scenario, what it does is it actually freezes the virtual machine, takes the dump live, and then unfreezes it. So that will be succinct. So nice. It's a great way of taking a dump of a Hyper-V guest. Particularly useful because all these dumping mechanisms require you to enable debugging. Debugging requires a reboot, right? In fact, if you're on a Windows RT device, you can't even do it because you can't change secure, but you can't change that setting. So it's a great way of getting a live dump of something that's not ready to get a dump file. So great tool. And shout out to Ken Johnston, who writes it with Mark Rosenovich.
There you go. So we've saved a mirror dump to /defrag.dump.
I used my SSD, see how fast it was?
That was very fast.
That was cool.
That was very fast. And we can actually just open that up because we should have dump files associated here. So we can even just kind of copy that. Boom.
Yeah, baby.
And here we go. So, you know, when we've looked at dumps before, I think on the show, they've always been crash dumps. In this case, it wasn't really a crash dump. So even though Bang Analyze Dash, it tells you can run Bang Analyze Dash V, it's not really going to give you anything because this wasn't a crash. So, you know, the bug check codes are all zero. It looks like you've done something here to set this preferred DML1 on your system.
I'm a fan of DML.
Yes. So now this is going to kind of show us the same information that we just saw, but the advantage here is that we can go take this defrag.dmp, look at it later, take it to another system, etc. And so you'll see a lot of those. So again, we see if we just do bang VM with no parameters. And you'll also notice it will sort these processes in descending order by amount of memory used. So you can see that the MSMP engine, which I think is part of the antivirus software, happens to be using the most memory on this system right now. Service host, Internet Explorer seems to be a little bit of a memory hog. Not too bad, though.
It's a blip.
40 meg. Not a big deal. We're not running a lot of real big stuff on here. So once we kind of take a look at that, we can also look at individual pool. We can look at, let's see. So what do we want to do here?
So most of these things are the same as RAM map, right? So you can.
Yeah. So in fact, let's crack open a RAM map here. There we go. And you should see these match up pretty well. So for example, up here, you've got your, you know, I don't know.
Maybe
non-page pool usage, for example, is 684 megabytes. Non-page pool, Wait a minute.
Add them together. Oh, no. Yeah.
So put that.
Yeah, it is different.
Why is that different?
I do know that...
Well, this is awkward.
It is.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, well, maybe it's paged out, but it's not page pulled. So, no, it's not.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Who to trust, the debugger or Rusinovich?
Oh.
That's a hard choice, actually.
That's a hard choice. That is a hard choice.
Which way you got Rusinovich every time?
Yeah. Actually, it'd be interesting to know actually what the difference is.
Yeah, well, we'll figure that out later. Sort that out. So anyway. You can see we haven't talked about Special Pool yet, but I guess we did actually talk about Special Pool.
Kind of inferred it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something that's used for debugging. We're not don't have it enabled now, so it's not using it.
Yes, that's the driver verifier one.
Driver verifier. If you enable that,
yeah, we allocate a pool block.
We
and
did.
Then,
yeah, talk about guard pages last week.
Yeah, so that's the memory associated with that.
Yes. Yes. So. Anyway, so let's see here. We can look at bang mem usage. Let's give it an 8. And this goes through all the physical memory.
This is another one where it's got a bit mask. 8's the magic number.
8 is the magic number. So again, we can go look at the help file. I think I still have it open here. Bang mem usage.
There's not that many bits that you actually have to remember. VM1 is about the only one you use, and mem usage 8. Most of the other ones you don't tend to care about.
So our 8.
Just get to know those. And
well, it's a summary one.
People kind of tend to get in the habit of using certain flags for certain things. And
it's like 17 with bang process. Yeah. Yeah, sure, one of the 7 bits I could drop for some reason, but I'm just used to typing 17.
Yeah.
Right. So bang mem usage.
We'll see if these line up with RAMMAP.
This probably lines up a little better, doesn't it?
Let's try it. This is standby. So 2 gig of standby.
2 gigabyte of standby.
Come on, RAMMAP.
Where's RAMMAP? Oh, did I close it?
That's over there.
Oh, I've run 2 of them now. Let's close one of them. Oops, come back. What were we doing? Standby.
Down the bottom there. Standby. 2.5 gig.
2.5 gig.
Killing us.
And now, is this because of the 1000 versus 1024 rounding? It's
that's
a little big of a difference.
That's
though,
20%
that.
Difference.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
Our processes should pretty much line up the same, I would think.
Yeah, try the biggest
compared
one.
Compared to we should see here.
Sort by total.
Sort by total. Yeah.
61.
So MSMP engine. And RAMMAP itself is using up quite a bit, which wasn't running when we took the dump, so that wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think these are
going to... Actually, you've got the dump file open, which is 600 meg. So,
which is quite different. The changes, yeah. Because after we did the dump, things changed because we opened it.
And also, LifeKD makes a lot of non-page pool memory as well. On itself, so
yes, yeah. So there things are changing. It's a live system. That's where things don't line up. We're going to go with that explanation. I'm sure that's what it is, actually. Right. So let's see.
So what does mem usage do?
So well, let's go back here. Oh, is that the right one?
Try the one on the right.
That one. Right. So mem usage, we go through the actual PFN database. A PFN is a page frame number. So each physical page of memory on your system has a page frame number associated with it. And we sort out what is what. So, you know, zeroed pages, free pages. This is really very similar to what RAMMAP shows you, right?
What I'm kind of worried about is that I've got a bad there. So,
yeah, what's up with that? You got bad memory on your system?
I did this last night, and I went, oh, I've got bad memory. Damn it. And so I actually took a not-my-fault dump instead. So instead of doing it live, I did you can see the blue screen of death icon there at the bottom. I took a live dump instead, and it's not there in the live dump. In the not-my-fault real dump. So I'm hoping it's an artifact of LifeKD and not actually a bad RAM.
Yeah.
So
it could be. It's not very much anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit. 10 meg.
Yeah, 2,000 pages. It's not.
I guess, yeah. It's still.
It's a pretty big block of, I suppose, out of 8 gig, it's not much, but.
Right.
It's kind of cool that Windows detects bad memory. If they say it really is bad, it's kind of cool that it goes, well, we know that this page has been misbehaving. We've got heuristics from all the bug checks and stuff and damage, that it actually will go and automatically mark that page as bad. And it's still in memory and it's still accessible in theory, just that the memory manager will never use that page. It just keeps it, it will never give it to you as active memory.
So what are you going to do over the holidays to track that down?
I'm not.
Determine if that's actually bad. Yeah. Oh, you say you won't.
He's going to live dangerously.
Oh, shut up.
You know, we can talk about this in another episode maybe, but there is actually a memory checker utility that's been shipping with Windows now for a while.
Yeah, at least XP or even Vista or somewhere on there.
I think it was a Vista thing. Yeah. Right. So anyway, this is essentially gives you the overall summary because we gave it the 8. I think if you do it without
details. One's kind of like based on the list, which is all these ones, and one's based on the usage of why it's. So it's, you know, one's one axis of RAM map and one's the other axis of RAM map.
Right.
So the two of them kind of get you to the same place.
Kind of both those commands together, essentially.
Don't get me wrong. I would use RAM map any day over the debugger trying to work this stuff out.
Well, the advantage of the debugger is in a crash situation or after the fact or something. If you want to see, well, that system, why'd that crash? Maybe it was running out of memory or something like that.
Yeah.
You can see that kind of stuff. Let's see. So we've also got Bang pool use. Now we've talked maybe a little bit about pool, but pool is essentially the kernel mode equivalent of heap, right? Mm. So on in a user process, when you want to go allocate some memory for some reason that you want to save some data in, you would allocate some heap. Well, in kernel mode, if you're a driver or some kernel component, you would use pool. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of the same thing. Now, pool used, whoa.
Yeah, it's a lot in my box.
Wow, that ran quite a while. The second parameter on pool used, let's go back to the help one more time.
The kernel extensions really do use these bitmasks a lot, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, they do. Well, actually, in this case, I don't know that this is a bitmask. Yeah, it is a bitmask, but 2 and 4 are mutually exclusive, so bit 1 and bit 2. These are typically the ones you use. Our pool used 2 is the one that I use the most frequently, because non-paged pool is, as the name would imply, is pool that cannot be paged out. And so typically when you are in a low memory situation or you have some situation where you're trying to allocate pool and you can't, most likely it's going to be non-paged pool because you're bound by physical RAM. Paged pool can grow a lot bigger because we can just page it out and things like that. So
yeah, and there's a thing called working set trim, which some machines hit. It's not too bad these days in like Windows 7 and above. What happens is you get fragmentation in the address space, and there's memory there to do it, but it needs to shuffle things around. And so what it does, it tries, and the algorithm's getting better and better as the higher you get in Windows, but it's always been there as a concept. It tries to eject pages, so it ejects the page pools, and then hopefully it makes these spaces that are big enough. And unfortunately, in lower versions of the OS, which is why we say always upgrade, the algorithm was very simplistic. It said, okay, I'm going to try a couple, or I give up. Every single page pull block, out you go. And it's called working set trim. And everything gets pushed out, and then hopefully you've got these massive ranges now, and then it allocates the buffer. It usually is for, it's called a contiguous memory allocation, which is memory that no longer will be used for programs. It's going to be used for the hardware. And the most obvious example is the disk. You say, I want to copy this file off the disk. And what you say is you carve out some physical memory, so no longer temporarily will it be used for anything else. And that physical memory address, so RAM sticks, is passed to the storage controller. And the storage controller is told, okay, when you get this block of data in, put it into this physical memory position, right? And then when it's completed, it fires the interrupt and blah, blah, blah. And then what we do is we then grab that memory and map it back into the address space, so make it usable again, and then we read the data. So the hardware does what's called a DMA transfer, direct memory access transfer. It moves it from the PCI bus or via the PCI bus into physical memory, and then releases its ownership of it, if you want to call it that, and then we use it. Non-page pull can't be paged out. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a lot of leaks, tends to be fragmented at the same time, you can have tons of memory left aggregatively, but the biggest contiguous memory block may not be that big. Right. And what you'll do is see is you'll get a contiguous memory allocation failure, even though, so you did a working set trim first, which is terrible for performance, and then it still fails anyway, and then the culprit is non-page pull.
Yeah. So when you do the two for the parameter, it tells it, I want you to go through, look at all the page pool, all the pool allocations, rather, and I want you to sort by pool tag. This is a concept we haven't talked about yet, but when you anybody that calls one of the pool allocation APIs will specify a 4-character tag. Mm-hmm. And that is just a way of us for us to identify, well, you know, who owns that pool allocation, who made that pool allocation. And so pool used will go through and aggregate all the pool allocations by tag, and then the two parameter tells us to sort that in descending order by non-page pool consumed. So for each of these,
it's actually interesting, the Mirror D.
Mirror D.
Is 6 gig? 600 meg. That's 600 meg.
That's a lot, yeah.
Which is the size of the dump file. That is the allocation that LiveKD made for the live dump. You know how I said you've got to have space?
Yeah.
That's why.
That's the allocation I had to make.
Right. And the debugger will go and try to figure out for things, pool tags that it recognizes, it will tell you what they are. For example, this MDL here is a memory descriptor list, which is used in DMA, just like you were talking about.
Correctly timed.
Yes, exactly. File objects here that get mapped into kernel address space will take up some, so you can see we're using.
So that's not the file itself. That's the knowledge that the file's mapped, right?
Well, I think
because it's a file object rather than the file buffer.
File object. Yeah, that may not be the file. Well, that's a lot of memory usage, though.
5,000 files?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It could be.
It's a bit high, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems a bit. Yeah, it could be also files that are mapped in by kernel mode drivers. I'm not actually sure on that. But
I mean, if you consider every single mapping in every single process, that's a fair bit.
Yeah, it could be. And we also, you know.
A lot of our cases like this, we go, maybe.
Have to go research that.
So it's like, though, I mean, nobody knows everything, right?
Yeah.
And it's about just throwing out theories and going, do you think that's high?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You can see here NTFS is using a fair amount for something. You know, the debugger doesn't tell you exactly what this NTFX tag is. The developer of NTFS, I'm sure, knows. But it does know that it has something to do with NTFS.sys. So it'll give you as much detail as it knows.
Do you just show them the pull tag.txt file?
Yeah, so that's what this is all pulled from, is within your debugger directory. Is it in the root here?
It's in the triage folder.
Triage.
So as you look at these different things and you're like, it might be a little high, maybe not, how do you know when to start driving down that rabbit hole and researching whether something?
Bit of experience, I guess. I think you start with big things, like you look for spikes. You go, well, that's huge.
Compare it against a known good system.
That's a really good advice. But also compare it against neighbors. There was a 600 meg allocation, and the next one on the list was only, 10 meg or something?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's comparatively abnormal.
Yeah.
Or if you see some allocation growing over time, like you look at a system and maybe, you know, there's a certain amount of allocation, then you go look at it a couple of days later and it's much bigger, you may have some kind of a pool allocation leak or something like that.
But that's what LiveKD is great for, right? On a live system, assume you've got enough. I mean, on my box, I needed 600 meg to get an 8 gig dump or 8 gig machine summarized. Right. If you have the space, you know, take a couple of dumps a couple of days apart. You can use other tools like, is Pullman still shipped? I think it is.
I want to say yeah. I haven't used it in a while. But
because we use these type of techniques. Yeah. But there's other tools to do the same thing. But it's personally, I like having a dump file because if you have a theory about X, you can go and you've got the evidence to chase down the rabbit hole, right? Mm-hmm. But if you just have Pullman, it just says, okay, the number changed.
Yeah.
Now what? Yeah. This pull tag file is great.
This is actually what, when the debugger goes and gives you all those descriptions we saw in the pool used output, it's pulling those from this. So there's a big mapping here of every pool tag that it knows about and what it's associated with.
And I think you can edit this file, right? So if you put, if you're a driver developer, you could put your own at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
And then it would.
Then it will show up, and when you do the bank pool commands. Otherwise, it'll just say unknown.
Yeah. If you get a tag, which you don't, which is particularly not identified, and you need to find it, Mark showed this on, I think, Case of Unexplained or one of those talks a couple of times. What you do is you jump into the Windows System32 drivers folder, and then you use system channel strings. So you do strings against *.sys, which is what device drivers are. And then you search for, you get all the strings out of it, which will find these tags, and then you do a find string over the top of that of the tag, and it will find you what DLL it is. Because these four letters will be straight the same inside inside the binary, because it's actually just a 128-bit number.
Yeah.
It just happens to look like letters. Yeah. And actually, you don't actually pass it as a string, you actually pass it as a 128-bit, not 128-bit, 8 times 4,
32-bit.
So,
yeah.
So that's how you find out what the origin is. And then, so if you see a leak of a particular tag, go to the driver's folder, do a search, and then you know that driver is the owner, the person who, by definition, by its existence in the file, can make that tag, and then go look for updates.
Yeah, sometimes you can kind of guess, like, for example, this one here, SYNT, SYNT.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but if I had to guess, I'd say it's probably allocated by your Synaptix touchpad driver.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's kind of implied by the name, but if I were to go do a text search on that driver file, or using those tools, I would probably find this in that sys file somewhere.
Doing the find tends to be the only way of actually working out what exactly which sys file is. I mean, there might be five of them in there.
Yeah.
So it kind of might help you narrow it down to one or two. I think it's a logo requirement now for drivers. There used to be allocate pull function, and they replaced it with allocate pull with tag.
EX.
And I think it's now a logo requirement that you must use the tag version of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you should never get a blank one.
I think the very old drivers that didn't use the tags, they would just show up here as something generic like DDK would be a tag or something like that, and you'd be like, well, that could be anybody. So
yeah.
It's,
but that's been I think that's been a logo requirement since like XP or Vista, like ages ago.
Definitely got away from doing that.
If your driver's signed, there's no way it falls into the old category because we wouldn't let it through the signing process.
Sure. Yeah. We try to make sure we know who's allocating memory.
Because
remember, the thing about kernel mode is that everybody lives in the same big address space, and all the drivers share memory. And so that's why we kind of have to have a way to track who allocated what. So that's why we got those tags. You can also sort by paged pool usage. Let's just out of curiosity. And we're going to see the same big list.
You might want to do a clear screen because you're going to find it impossible to find the middle point.
You're right. Let's do that. Because
there's no way you're going to find that one line at the start.
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually making my CPU.
Yeah, I just heard your fan.
This machine never goes hot. Yeah.
Let's see. So sorting by page pool consume, we can see who's using the most page pool. And CM31 is Configuration Manager, which is the internal name for the registry.
Oh.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, all the registry functions in the kernel all start with CM. Kind of like how memory manager always starts with MM allocate pool, for example, would be that. CM is all the registry functions.
So there's
so the registry like has mapped in
50 meg.
What is that?
Yeah, 50 meg.
50 megabytes. And it's all page because, you know, registry, we can page out, page back in if we need to. So.
Or it's backed by?
Backed by the actual files on disk.
Yeah.
So can any of this lead to a bug check?
Yes. Certainly if you fail to allocate non-page pool, there's a type of allocation you can say, I want to allocate non-page pool and it must succeed. And if it doesn't succeed, then I want a bug check.
Yeah.
So you will see those kinds of things certain times.
I guess if you have a driver that doesn't bother reading the return value and it says, okay, here's your null pointer back because I didn't give you anything, and then goes and uses it, you're going to get an access violation because you can't read null. That's the thing about the kernel. It's the Wild West. There's nothing stopping anybody. A single bug, a single line of code bug in any driver will bring the whole thing down as a bug check. Right? It's there's no protection there for you. You have to be correct. There's no other state that you can be. So if you get a memory allocation, if you call a function and you expect something to come back, like a memory allocation address, and it didn't come back, well,
you have to handle it.
You have to handle it. And Driver Verifier has testing for that, right?
Yeah, it has a lot of testing for all of those kinds of scenarios that we've identified over the years. They add checks in Driver Verifier. So if you have drivers that you suspect are kind of sketchy or maybe have a bug in them, turn Driver Verifier on against them, and you will probably still bug check. But what will happen is you'll bug check sooner or more frequently, and the resulting dump file will be very definitive that, hey, this driver, we caught it doing something bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you can kind of have the smoking gun, and you can go look into what's going on with that driver.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times, if somebody's just corrupting memory in kernel mode, those can be very difficult to track down. Because some driver goes out and accidentally, you know, overruns its pool allocation and steps on somebody else's pool. Because these pool allocations all kind of reside in big contiguous blocks.
So it's like a heap, right?
It's like a heap.
Yeah.
So if somebody allocates, you know, 4K of pool, and then they go and write 5K to it, well, they probably just stepped on the first 1K of somebody else's, some other driver's allocation. And, you know, nothing's going to happen for a while. Maybe an hour later, that other driver's going to go and try to read its 1K allocation, and there's garbage there, and it blows up. And at that point, it can be very difficult to figure out who's the bad guy who did that.
And what's worse is the guy before could have deallocated himself. So you can't go walking back and go, who owns the previous page, because he may have been freed it and he's gone.
He may or may not be the culprit.
And then someone new may have come in and...
Yeah. And we did talk a little bit about guard pages before. So one of the things you can do is enable special pool using Driver Verifier, pool checking. And what that will do is after allocations, it will put a guard page there. Mm. And that way, when that first guy writes his 5K and his 4K allocation, he runs into a guard page and we immediately just bug check the box and we go, hey, somebody overrun their pool.
The only limit to special pool is every allocation has a new address. All right? And so normally you would allocate something, free it, goes back into the pool, and then someone asks for an allocation, and if it fits in this block, you'll get it reused. Right? Special pool never gives you the same address again, because what they want is to stop reading after a free. So when you free it, it goes, and then if you read from it later, you're not going to pick up someone else's reuse of it. It's going to be gone forever.
Yeah.
And then that will crash because you don't have to read after a free.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's fine with 64-bit because you've got a huge address space. If you turn special pool on in x86, you've only got 4 gig. You will run out of address space. It just, by the churn of the box, you will run out addresses that they can give out.
So we'll start reusing
64-bit, you turn special pool on every single driver. There's enough CPU grunt in these PCs these days that you won't really know the difference. But on x86, you just cannot do that.
You have to be a little more specific and targeted on x86 about using special pool.
So this is the pool usage. How do we actually work out if what address comes from a pool page?
Right. So we'd have to go find one, right?
It's okay. You might get something on the stack.
Yeah,
and be lucky.
Maybe we'll... Well, I've
true. I could use a dump file instead.
What's that? Do we have a dump file?
Yeah, there's a memory dump file in here.
In here?
In the Explorer folder.
Oh, okay.
Use a real one.
This one here?
Yeah.
So we can do a...
So hopefully something might be on the stack. I think from memory, grab the 590 line and then do a DPP down from that point. So I think some of these should be pull, I think.
Like that one there, maybe?
Yeah. Because it points off to something, it suggests that it's good memory.
Probably pull.
No, it's unknown.
It's not. Yeah, we'd have to actually find somebody. Well, okay, so this control file is going to take a couple of parameters. Problem is on 64-bit finding. Was this a Windows 7 dump?
Windows 7. Try this one. Try the AD. No, this one instead.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody in here is probably referring to some pool.
Try that 900. Could that be out of the stack? This one, yeah.
This one here. You can also do a bang address to find out what things are.
Again.
Yeah.
We can do pull find instead.
No.
Public symbols, dude.
Right.
The scourge of being inside Microsoft versus external.
Some of the things I'm used to doing don't work.
Pool find,
which if I have to maybe go look up what the parameters are for pool find, but you're just looking for a particular tag string.
Yeah.
So how about ERP? There we go.
There is no control break in my keyboard.
No, you don't have a break key?
No, it was the one mistake I made when I bought the laptop. Fantastic laptop otherwise, but there's no break key. And for a debugger guy,
yeah.
Killer.
We use break a lot in the debugger.
Yeah.
Can't you remap a key?
We could, but there's not actually that many keys left over on this keyboard.
Yeah.
I could still print screen, but I use print screen.
Love to be able to use the eject key to remap things because I never use CDs anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what's happened here, but the debugger just hung. Maybe it'll come back. You can kind of see, even though they're grayed out, though. So these are all pool allocations.
Mm-hmm. And so if you do a bang pull on that, you would
get basically the same kind of output it's showing you here. I don't know if it's going to come back. What's it doing? I have to debug the debugger. See what it's doing. I don't know what I did.
So jump to the other one and do PTE.
Yeah.
So your point is you can find out. If you have an address, much like you can with bang address in user mode, you can say, what's this backed by? You know, what's this protection? In the case of pull, it says, you give it an address and it says, well, this allocation comes from this pull tag. And so you can work out where things come from.
Try my luck with pool find again here.
Yeah.
All right. So pool tag. So for example here, this is a particular pool allocation. If I do a bang pool on that, I will see that entire page. Because remember, it's like a heap. They're all kind of mashed together here. So you can see that this one with the asterisk is the one I just dumped. It's an ERP allocation. Right before it was a CCSC, which is cache controller, I believe.
You're the kind of guy.
Yeah, something with some of the disk cache.
So this is a good example of how if you have a bad read over because of that, like that 5K overwrite that you were saying, you work out, okay, I read this pointer from this address, do a bang pull, and you can work out who the person before you is.
Right.
As I said, it may or may not still be that person because of reuse, but it gives you a clue that there's no way this data is good. You know, it's got strings over what should be data, for example. Go back and blame that guy instead.
I would hope that in this case, because this is a very commonly used operating system component, that it would not overrun its 220-byte pool allocation. But if it did, you could then hit a problem when you try to read this ERP. You'll also see that each of these allocations has a previous size. So there's a little bit of a check here. So for example, this CPMP is a 190, and we also in this pool header, it also knows that the previous pool allocation was 70. You can see that's there. If for some reason this is different, then probably you do have some pool corruption.
Because it's like a little header?
It's a little header at the beginning of the pool allocation.
Or it's a header, not a footer.
It's a header. So the beginning of the pool allocation, the first few bytes are, what is the size of this pool allocation? What's the size of the previous pool allocation? What's the pool tag?
Okay.
And if that previous size, for example, doesn't look right compared to what you know is the previous size, then you know that somebody may have corrupted that header.
So maybe an obvious example may be a string where they didn't allocate enough space for the null terminator, so you may have one or two bytes, whether it's Unicode or not, wiping over the size, so the size will be slightly slower. Well, actually, it'll look like zero,
size
probably.
Size will be zero or something off. Yeah, and if you just wanted to see that one, you can also, if you don't want to see the surrounding ones, you can also give it a, I believe it's a 2, and it'll just show you that one.
Cool.
But typically, I personally kind of like to see the surrounding ones.
So this is its position in the pool. So where do we, this is the,
in the
virtual
page.
Address, right?
This is the, yes.
How do we know where it is in physical memory?
Physical memory. So I've talked a little bit about this in some previous episodes, but any address, when you have a kernel debug session, you can do bang PTE, and this will convert virtual address into physical address. And the way that this happens is detailed exhaustively in the Windows internals book.
You like a bedtime reading, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
This one is a really good bedtime reader.
Oh, yeah. So so we gave it a virtual address, the VA virtual address, and then it shows you how that gets translated through all these lookup tables into a physical address. And so first we go to the PXE, which I think is page extension something. I forget
entry.
What these entry page... I forget what these actually stand for. PDEs, page descriptor entry.
So the PXE actually is on a PFN. So the description of the memory actually takes a block of memory itself.
Yes.
Which is what the PFN below it is.
Yeah. So we sort of, on a 64-bit system, we have all these tables that we have to sort of iterate through looking up. You know, look at this table to know which other table to look at, to know which other table to look at, to know which other table to look at. And then we finally...
Because it's designed to be balanced, right? Because you don't want to use 8 gigabytes of RAM to describe 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Right.
And so it's a balance between the two.
Yeah, on a 32-bit system, you'll see only, I think, 2 of these. Mm-hmm. But there's just so much more virtual address space on 64-bit that we need to add more tables to be able to keep track of everything. And so you can see that ultimately these point to this particular... PTE here contains this, which points ultimately comes to this large page PFN. This right there is the physical page. PFN is a page frame number. And if you tack 3 zeros onto the end of that, that would be the physical address.
Offset. So one of the things we get is if you get a bug check on your box over and over again, and it's a different driver every single time, even with driver verifier enabled, or assuming that yeah, it's not bad code. One of the things you need to look at is the address that's failing will be completely different every time.
Yeah.
But it may result to the same PFN every time, which is the same physical memory.
Page. Yes.
Right? And so that's actually what the bad memory heuristics does. It goes, all these bug checks that I've been getting have been on the same PFN every single time. And it says it suggests that there may be something wrong with that memory module. Mm-hmm. I think, is it 5% of crashes are bit flips? Something?
I don't know the stat, but it's you'd be surprised how many bug checks are caused by bad hardware. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. Wow. We always tend to blame software because we're software people, but you know, a lot of times it's really just bad hardware.
Yeah, and you can get bad hardware. Obviously, memory is the most common one for memory.
Overheating.
CPU overclocking is the other one.
CPU. Yeah.
It will drop bits on registers, particularly, and then. Once you're wrong in there, you're wrong.
Yeah, I had a machine several years back where every time I would scan photos, like I was doing a lot of scanning, like slide scans and stuff like that. And you'd do like 3 or 4 of them, and it would just crash the system. And, you know, of course I'm thinking, well, it only happens when I'm scanning. There must be a problem with the scanner driver or something. So I started debugging the dump files. And eventually I figured out that it had nothing to do with any driver. It was that there was dust in my CPU fan. And the scanning process was just running the CPU really hard, 100%, for several minutes at a time, and it would just get hotter and hotter and hotter until finally it would start, you know, freaking out and crashing. And so I blew the dust out of my fan, and I never had another crash when I scanned. So,
very cool.
You know, hardware can cause all kinds of crazy behavior. So,
yeah. Cool. Nice.
Anyway, so
I think we're at the end of it today.
Pretty much, yeah, covered the most of the important memory commands from kernel mode, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that is the show for this week. If you have questions, you can email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes, and we can get back to you there. Prefer the email, so keep in touch, everybody. And that's the show for this week.
Have a weekend.
Bye.